is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, and that's Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we conclude the series, Do As He Says. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars' message. Up next is Johnny Ray Watson with His Eye Is on the Sparrow, after which we will begin Pastor Mars' sermon.
I feel discouraged. Why should the shadows fall? And why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eyes on that little sparrow, and I know that He's watching me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He's watching me. So I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eyes on that little sparrow, and I know He's watching me. Oh, let not your hearts be troubled. His tender voice that I hear. I don't know about you, but I'm resting upon His goodness. And in those moments, I lose my doubt and fear. And by His grace, the Lord led me. And it's one thing that I see, I know that His eyes on that little sparrow, and I know that He's watching me. And I know He's watching me.
And they had a wonderful fish dinner that night. That's in the Bible too. 153. And Jesus says, make sure you don't lose even one. Ah, now there's a principle, isn't it? When Jesus captures you, friends, he goes fishing too, you see. And when he captures you, he doesn't lose you. Have you ever had a fish on the hook and he gets away from you at the last moment? Oh, everybody said that happened to him. That goes fishing. But when Jesus gets you on his hook, oh my goodness, you can't escape. And you're one happy fish being eaten by Jesus. Believe me, there's another principle. You know, here's the important thing. If you have been quickened by Jesus, if you have been made alive, if you have been born again through Jesus, you will listen to his voice and to no one else's. Here, get this in John. This is John chapter 10. And Jesus was talking to the Jews, the Pharisees there, but they wouldn't listen to him. And they weren't of his fold. They weren't his sheep, evidently. Now, can I prove that? Yes. Because read verse 26 of chapter 10. Jesus told them, but ye believe not because you are not of my sheep. Wow. You don't believe me because you're not of my sheep. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Did you get that? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And what next? Well, verse 28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What did I just tell you? If he captures you, he's got you. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then Jesus said, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Ah, what happens next? Verse 31 says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Boy, they were angry. Why? Because he said, you're not of my sheep. I am one with God, but you're not of us. That's what he said. You're not of us. He told the Jews, you're not of God. If you were, you'd believe me. Now, just before that in chapter 10, he talked about the sheep again. He talks about the leader of the sheep. He's the leader of us as sheep of the flock. Verse 5 of chapter 10, Jesus says, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, friends, that's a principle too. I've seen that around a lot of animals. Dogs, for example. A lot of dogs will follow the voice of their master, but you come and try to tell them what to do, and they look at you like you're crazy. Who are you? Okay, who are you? They must be saying to themselves. Then said Jesus unto them, verse 7, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Isn't that something? If you're of Jesus, you hear his voice, and you will not follow anyone else's voice. Now, what a great principle that is. And let me tell you something else. When Jesus speaks, if you think that you and I, and we should,
do what he says. I want you to understand something. It's not an optional thing. You shouldn't be out there saying, well, I'll do what Jesus says if I want to. Did you know that when Jesus speaks, even the devil has to do what he says? Think of the Last Supper. Jesus was there with the disciples, and there was the one that was destined to betray him, Judas. And Jesus, they wanted to know who is going to betray you, Lord? And Jesus said, I'm going to take the bread, sop it into the wine, who I give it to, he's the one that's going to betray me. And he did that. He sopped it into the wine, he took the bread, and he gave it to who? Judas, the keeper of the money. And at that moment, get this, folks, at that moment, Judas was identified then as the betrayer of Christ. Jesus himself was saying, this is the one. But something horrible happened to Judas at that moment that evidently had not happened before. He was working in the flesh, because the flesh can make us do evil things. But at that moment, after Jesus gave him the bread and the wine, gave to him and identified him as the betrayer, the Bible tells us at that moment the devil entered him. Wow. He became possessed by the devil. Now, Judas probably had no way out at that moment. He had worked up and to that moment, and there it was, and he was possessed. Friends, a lot of people go too far. They test the limits. How far can I go here? Maybe I'll rebel a little bit here. They don't understand, my friends. You take that step too far, step beyond where you should be. And the devil is waiting for you, and he's got a net too, and he'll capture you. He captured Judas. And then Jesus gave an order. Some people say he gave it to Judas. I think he gave it to the devil, because the devil was in Judas, and the devil has to be stronger than Judas. And so he possessed Judas. But what did Jesus say? Go quickly. Do what you must do. And the Bible records that Judas immediately got up and left the room and went out and betrayed Jesus to the rabbis, to the Sanhedrin. The devil who possessed Judas was ordered by Jesus, go quickly and do what you must do. And he did it. Even the devil's got to do what God tells him to do. A lot of people say, oh, I thought it was a big contest. You know, they're fighting all the time, and, you know, it's a touch-and-go thing. You know, as Jerry would say, it's in overtime now, and who's going to win? Oh, look, folks, the game has already been played and won. The devil rebelled. He lost. He and his angels were cast out of heaven, and now his destiny has been sealed. And when Jesus tells the devil to do something, that's it. I like the verse in the Bible where when Moses died, the devil came and said, I want his body. It's mine. Because after all, Moses was not a perfect man. We know in the Bible, he killed a man one time. He did a lot of bad things, probably. All of us do some bad things in our life. Does that mean that the devil owns us? We belong to him? Not so. Not if Jesus owns you. Jesus can cover up all those sins. Jesus is the forgiver of sins. And you know, the devil came and he wanted the body, meaning he wanted the soul, really, of Moses. But the Lord had already sent an archangel to collect the body. And you know what he told the devil? He basically just told the devil, get out of here. Now, he didn't rail at the devil, it says. He didn't make a big, you know, to-do of it. In fact, his words were very few. He said, the Lord rebuke you. He didn't try to rebuke the devil in his own power. He said, the Lord rebuke you. And the devil fled. The Bible tells us that we are to resist the devil. But first, we submit to God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But folks, first, you must be listening to the voice of he who is our leader. You're a sheep. I'm a sheep. And we sacrifice ourselves. And we say, God, what must we do? Now, I want you to understand something. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter how big you are, how strong. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. I'd like to take you to the case of the Roman centurion. This is in Luke chapter 7. Let's go to that very quickly. We're about to run out of time here. And boy, this is just so powerful. This do as he says. Okay, Luke 7. We have the Roman centurion. Luke 7, chapter 2. And a certain centurion, that's a Roman centurion, he's an officer, he's a commander of men. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servants. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Think about that. Jesus was on his way to heal his servant. And this Roman centurion sent word to him and says, Lord, don't even trouble yourself to come this far. That's why I didn't come myself to you. I didn't want to make trouble for you. But just give the word and it'll be done. And he said this, he said, For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, Go, and he goeth. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. The Roman centurion, when he told his men what to do, he said to one, go there. And they went. Come here. And they come. He's a man has authority over them. And likewise, he knew that Jesus had authority from heaven itself. And he said, all you have to do is give the word and my servant will be healed. And I'm not even worthy for you to come under my roof. Now, folks, I suspect the Roman centurion had a very nice residence, nice house, nice furnishings. Servants and all that. He wasn't embarrassed at his house, except that he, as far as he was concerned, he wasn't even worthy. You see the humility in this man, the humble nature of the man, but his recognition that Jesus was truly God, and all he had to do because of the great authority he held was give the word and the man's servant whom he loved. And doesn't that also show something? It was a mere servant. A lot of masters would not even care. If he dies, I'll buy another slave. I'll get another servant. I've got money. I'll pay a minimum wage. What does it matter? But this servant was dear to him. Just a servant? No, not to this man. He had love for people. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him. So Jesus didn't go then. He turned about and he said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Jesus had given the word. Folks, when I pray to Jesus, I don't need Jesus to come and sit at my table with me. And I don't tell him what to do or how to do it. I don't give any orders to God. I use words like, please, Lord. And if it be thy will, Lord, I beg Jesus. I petition Jesus. And he respects that. Go to God in humility. And then when he tells you something, do as he says. He has the authority. Isn't it interesting? A lot of people say, well, the Jews are so holy. This man, Jesus said, I have not seen faith like this, such great faith. No, not in Israel. He was a Gentile. He was a Roman, hated by many of the Jews, but he had one overriding principle. He was willing to do as Jesus said. And that was a guide to him for successful living. Folks, listen. Jesus knows what is in the heart of every man. He knows what is in your heart. He knows you're not perfect, but he can forgive you of your sins. All you have to do is do as he says. He says, repent of your sins. Come unto me. He'll show you the better way. You say, I don't know how to do it. Just ask him to come in your heart. Say a simple prayer. You don't have to be so smart. You don't have to buy a book of prayers. You don't have to go to a Catholic priest or a minister of the cloth and say, teach me how to pray. Just speak in your own word. Just say it. Just think it in your own mind. Give God glory. Let Jesus know you have faith in him, you believe in him, and then, more important than anything, do as he says.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.